If you come from a broken family and you've struggled with things like OCD, overthinking, relationships, or maybe even filling a parent role for your siblings or your parents, this episode is for you. In it, my guest Ashton shares how her parents' divorce affected her and especially her relationship. She also shares what's helped her to heal and to move on in life, and shares what can help you too. So keep watching or listening. Welcome to the Restored Podcast, helping you heal and grow from the trauma of your parents' divorce, separation, or broken marriage, so you can feel whole again and break the cycle. I'm your host, Joey Panarelli. This is episode 108. We're so thrilled that so many of you have found this podcast helpful and even healing. We've heard tons of great feedback. Emily said this. She said, "Truly healing, 5 stars. This ministry has helped me through a lot. We all feel alone, yet we desire to find a community that understands the pain of being children of divorce. It doesn't define us, yet it is a part of our story. I cannot recommend this podcast enough." Another listener said this. She said, "I posted a single episode on Facebook today, and about 2 hours later, a lady posted that she listened to the podcast and finally, after 20 years since her parents' divorce, just made an appointment for counseling." Bam. Again, we're so happy that you guys have found this podcast helpful and even healing. To help us in return, if you've ever had an idea, a guest, a topic, or any other advice to make this podcast better, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us that advice by just filling out our podcast survey. In the survey, we ask questions like, how would you rate the podcast? You know, why do you listen? Is this podcast too long, too short, or just right? Should we add video? Should we change the format of the show? And a lot of other questions that will guide you in giving your advice. And unlike the production of these podcast episodes, it doesn't take 5 to 10 hours to answer this survey. It actually just takes 5 to 10 minutes to complete it. And if you've benefited from the podcast, again, it's a great way to help us in return. And it'll also benefit you in 2 ways. The first way is it'll help us make the show even better for you. But also, if you fill out the survey by November 15th, you're going to be entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card. To offer your advice, it's really easy. Just go to restoredministry.com/survey. Again, restoredministry.com/survey. Just answer the questions on there, submit the form. And again, if you do that by the 15th, you'll be entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Again, go to restoredministry.com/survey or just click on the link in the show notes. My guest today is Ashton. Ashton is a Catholic Christian woman who resides in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. She's passionate about how all things in life integrate with one another. She's worked as an intern for the Theology of the Body Institute and as a missionary for the Christian Renewal Center. She wants to work in ministry and hopes to one day to become a Theology of the Body coach, helping women to know the goodness of their bodies. She also has a heart for those of us who have divorce as part of our stories, and she hopes to accompany those who share this wound. She's also very passionate about the mission of Restored and wants to help many others have healthy relationships. She also hopes one day to build a healthy marriage and family herself. Now, obviously, in this episode, if you couldn't tell, we talk about God and faith. And if you don't believe in God, you're totally welcome here. Anyone who's been listening to this show for a while knows that this is not a strictly religious podcast. And so wherever you're at, I'm glad you're here. You're totally welcome. If you don't believe in God, my challenge for you is this. Just listen with an open mind. I know that even if you were to skip or take out the God part, you'll still benefit a lot from this episode. And so with that, here's my conversation with Ashton. Ashton, welcome on the show. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Joey. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
I've been looking forward to this, and we'll just dive right in as we usually do. How old were you when your parents separated and later got divorced?
Yeah, so I was, I want to say 9, 10, maybe. I just remember being in the 3rd grade, so somewhere around 9 to 10 years old.
And was it kind of a one and done for you, or did it drag out over years? I know that different people have different stories.
Yeah, I would say it was more of like a one and done type of divorce. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, totally makes sense. And to whatever degree you're comfortable sharing, what happened?
Yeah, so a lot of the details are kind of vague just because I was so young, but I still do remember quite a bit. I just remember, my mom left my dad, and it just was really chaotic from that point. She was like, "I'm leaving you." And then just so much, like kind of chaos and messiness and hard unfolded from that just because of, my dad being so surprised and hurt. And so,
okay, that makes sense. And Do you remember being in shock? Do you remember being surprised as well?
Yeah, I was just like confused on how to make sense of it all. Just being so young, just not really totally understanding what is divorce. Like, yeah, very, very much in shock.
No, that totally makes sense. And I think that's such a common experience. And that's actually a trauma response, as you probably will well know, mm-hmm. that when something, you know, that overwhelms our ability to cope comes into our life, then yeah, we do kind of go through that trauma response. One of the steps being, you know, being overwhelmed, being kind of in shock, kind of having the deer in the headlights look in our eyes, even on a bodily level. So I'm curious how, you know, all of that, your parents' divorce, everything that led up to it, but also everything that came from it. How did that affect you over the years?
Yeah, it definitely looked like a lot of us having to kind of step up and take on roles that, you know, aren't expected of, yeah, children to take on. For me, it definitely looked like as the years kind of progressed with my parents' divorce and that unfolding, me taking on a very mature role, kind of playing mom, taking care of my siblings, and yeah, just all of us kind of stepping up and kind of raising ourselves in ways, just because, yeah, like that's unfortunately the reality of divorce is, you know, yeah, like with my dad, just having to like really like provide and take care of things financially, it was looked like, yeah, just him being gone a lot. And then with my mom not seeing us as much. So it looked like us, yeah, really stepping up and taking on very mature roles from a young age. I mean, at least for myself, can't speak for all my siblings, but that's what it looked like for me.
How many siblings again, and where do you fall in line?
Mm-hmm. So I'm the third oldest. I have six sisters and one brother.
Okay, nice. Okay, so big family. And that makes sense if you're towards the top, or towards the front, that you would take on more of the parental responsibility as well. And I experienced that too, especially being number two in my family of six. We, definitely were thrown into that role of kind of raising our little siblings and, you know, filling other roles that we really shouldn't have had to fill as well. So it's a difficult situation. And you kind of feel like stuck in between two, like really hard places where it's like, well, if you do kind of step into that role, it's not the healthiest thing. It's not really what it's meant to be. But if you don't, what happens to your siblings? Did you wrestle with that?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I was like, I mean, I have to take on this role. Like my siblings need me. Like I have a lot of younger siblings. So I was like, it just felt, you know, expected of me to take on that role. It only felt right. Just given the circumstances. And I know just to share too, with like my parents' divorce, like it felt very much like I was playing monkey in the middle a lot with like the way that my parents' marriage broke down and just the messiness of it all. And so I would say that was a challenge for me of like constantly having mom say one thing about dad, constantly having dad say things about mom. And so that was definitely tough. And I'm sure others can relate to that and how difficult that really can be.
100%. And no, there's so many difficult things you have to navigate that no one would ever think of. Parents usually don't think of when they're considering a divorce. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't, as children, can think that they would become a reality. And then later in life, we're just like hit with them. And we don't even often talk about them, but they're very real. And one of the things I just want to say to everyone listening who's maybe facing that same situation where you're kind of thrown into a role that you weren't meant to play, when it comes to your siblings in particular, I think there is something to be said in certain situations where you kind of do need to step into that role. But I would say if there's no other alternative, again, it shouldn't be you, but if there's no other alternative, keep in mind that it is a temporary thing. It's a season in your life. And that's what I had to remember too, because I think where it can become really unhealthy, again, it's better if the parents fill that role. That's what they're meant to do. But if we need to out of dire necessity, it's really unhealthy if we then continue for years and years and years and don't move forward in our own lives because we feel this perpetual obligation to our siblings. And what I've come to kind of wrestling this with this myself is that you moving on, you know, again, assuming you're not like putting your siblings in like on the street or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Like they need to be in a stable position, but you moving on, you growing, you hopefully thriving in life, you going to where, you know, you're meant to be is going to be a better example and actually be better for not only you, but your siblings in the long run, because they're going to see you hopefully go on and build healthy relationships. They're going to see you hopefully build a good, beautiful marriage. And that probably in itself too, is going to be one of the most inspiring and helpful things for them. Because as you know, Ashton, one of the things that people like us struggle with the most is our own romantic relationships. Like, it's a real struggle mm-hmm. to even believe that love can last, that marriage can last, because we saw it break apart in the marriage that we know best, our parents. And so when it's our turn, we're filled with all sorts of anxiety and fear, and we just feel lost. Like, we don't know how to go about building a marriage. And so if we can be that example to our siblings about how to move forward in life in a healthy way, I think that's going to do far more good than if you were constantly by their side, you know, raising them as their parent. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. Agreed.
It's a tricky thing to go through though. And, I wish there were, that's just the principle that we have found helpful, but obviously that's not as like black and white in some situations. So mm-hmm. that's where it's so helpful to have like mentors and guides in your life who can walk with you and help you apply the principles and make those decisions, in the unique kind of nuanced situations that you find yourself in. So anything else, I guess, you would add about how, you know, your parents' divorce affected you?
So I would say that some of the ways that I coped that were, or I guess that, yeah, the ways that my parents' divorce affected me, and I guess to an unhealthy extent, is that, yeah, with taking on that very mature role at a young age and kind of playing mom, it kind of affected my relationship with my siblings a little bit, because I was constantly like frustrated about things needing to be clean. And I would say that probably falls into one of the unhealthy ways that I coped. And I mean, thankfully, I guess I could have coped in a lot unhealthier ways, and not to shame anyone that has fallen into there's a lot of unhealthy ways to cope, like drugs, alcohol, all that. Thankfully I didn't get into that, but I guess an unhealthy way I coped was, I guess, through cleaning. And like, if everything is clean, like everything's going to be okay. And it kind of became this like obsession. And, I would say that was, you know, one could say, well, that's kind of a healthy way to cope, but to the extent that I went about it, it wasn't healthy. It became so controlling of like, I can't just relax and be a kid because I have to make sure everything's clean and everything will be okay if everything's clean and I stay healthy. And so I would say that was one of the negative impacts of my parents' divorce on me, is yeah, just developing this like extreme around like cleanliness. And I mean, thankfully it's gotten so much better as I've gotten older, and really entered into that healing journey. But that was something that was super challenging, of just, yeah, not being able to be like other kids and not be afraid of germs and just constantly feeling like everything has to be clean for everyone to be okay.
No, that totally makes sense. There's a few things going on there, I think, and because I experienced some of that myself, like falling into OCD. And mm-hmm. We've seen a trend a bit for people like us from broken families falling into that. I don't know if there's any official research. We haven't reviewed that yet, but mm-hmm. it almost seems like we could be more likely to become obsessive compulsive. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think there's a few different things there. One, I know for me, it was almost like a way of, yeah, exerting control in a very chaotic, uncontrollable situation. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you know, for me, it was not necessarily like cleanliness, but more organization, just things being in their like right place, as opposed to like, you know, spraying everything down, making sure there weren't germs. And so, but I know other people who, yeah, they were really, really debilitated by like a fear of germs and things like that, that kind of attached itself to, you know, whatever they had been through before that in their family, and to the point where, you know, these things get extreme. They can get really unhealthy, where, mm-hmm. you know, your skin becomes raw, or, you know, it just gets to this really unhealthy extent. So yeah, I can totally relate there. And, there's so much more to say there, but that makes sense. And, when it came to your relationships, I'm curious, you know, especially dating relationships and maybe relationships with men, like how did that all play out? How did, you know, what you came from in your family, the effects of your parents' divorce, impact your relationships?
Mm-hmm. So I would say like when I was younger, like going into high school, it definitely looked like wanting to try to, fit in and like, you know, attract attention, through like the clothing that I wore and just like, yeah, just, I think seeking attention in the wrong ways. And, so that was, I think, yeah, maybe a negative thing. But when it came to dating, I really think there was a great fear around it, because I've done very little dating, to this point. But I would say that one of the struggles has been just, yeah, this fear of like, I, like, how could, yeah, I just am so broken. Like, how could I enter into a relationship and, like, yeah, just be accepted in all of my mess? And I mean, thank the Lord for Restored, because that's helped me so much to realize that, yeah, like, I can build, like, a healthy marriage one day, and, like, I can have healthy relationships, and just, like, really learning those practical tools and skills and stuff to, like, grow in virtue and to really show up and have a healthy relationship. And so, yeah, I'd say that there's just been, like, in the dating that I've done, just a lot of fear and overthinking, and just not, like, I feel like it's just been a lot more challenging, and just, yeah, like, a fear of even entering into it at all. But yeah, on the flip side of that, I would say one of the positives has been, it's really over the years actually, just allowed me to, or I've just grown in this, like, desire to really understand, like, what is love. And so in my years of being single and not really dating, I would say like, it's been this, like, research project mission, whatever you want to call it, of, like, really trying to understand what is love. Like, if I get married one day, like, what am I actually saying yes to? And, and so it's been this beautiful journey. Yeah. Of just really trying to understand how to love, what is love. And, I think that, yeah, that's probably one of the blessings of my parents' divorce, is it's put me on this mission to really understand what love is, and what is authentic love, and how can I really love? And, especially, like, showing up in a dating relationship, how can I show up well? And I actually just want to share, for any of the ladies that happen to listen to this, I went through a course called the Intentional Summer, the Intentional Single. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words here, this previous summer. And, that was an incredible course for single, even dating women, to really understand, yeah, like, how to process your emotions, like, how to, yeah, just how to show up well in dating. And that was just a great resource for me, a great course to go through.
Love that. Yeah, no, I can relate to so much what you said, not about being a single woman, but I can relate to a lot of the other stuff. So, yeah, just the fear that, you know, just not believing that love and marriage actually lasted. I wrestled with all that same stuff, and it was, it's a real struggle. Like, now looking back, it's like, okay, I was able to work through it, overcome it, and now, you know, be married for over 5 years and have, you know, a baby. And so it's amazing. You can get there. Not that I've, like, made mm-hmm. some summit, but, like, you can work through the fear, work through kind of the lack of, like, knowledge and lack of, like, I don't know how to build a healthy relationship and get to what you ultimately desire, which is love, whatever form, you know, that might look like in your particular life. But it's, yeah, no, it's really beautiful that you were kind of set on that quest to figure out what is love. And interestingly, for everyone listening, that's what marriage researchers have actually found is an essential ingredient for a great marriage, is just having what they call a realistic concept of love. Which in other words means, like, knowing the truth about love, knowing what it's not and knowing what it is. And if you do that, you're going to have a much greater likelihood of having a really healthy, thriving, happy marriage. So it's beautiful you've been on that quest. And mm-hmm. when it comes to overthinking, let's touch on that a little bit, mm-hmm. if you're willing to go deeper there, because I think so many of us deal with this. I know I did, especially in my earliest relationships. It was just like, man, I remember, Ashton, it was like constantly questioning, like, is this the right thing? Is this the right thing? Should I be with this girl? Should I, you know, am I meant to be with this girl? And then also every little maybe disagreement or anything that I perceived as being, like, out of sync in the relationship, I would focus on so hard, to the point where all our conversations became very heavy. Like, the whole relationship became very heavy. It wasn't very life-giving. It was kind of like this constant thing. Are we okay? Are we okay? And, again, thankfully, I was able to, like, work through that and get to a better spot. But it was, like, in the moment, man, that was really a tough thing to go through and not healthy. So, just curious, kind of your experience going through the whole questioning, yeah. Like you mentioned.
Yeah, thank you, Joey, for sharing that. I definitely can relate. I feel like the overthinking and even making decisions, it just felt so debilitating. Of, like, why can I not just make a decision? Why do I have to overthink this so much? And it's definitely been, yeah, it definitely was a struggle and can still be at times. And it's very frustrating. And I wonder if it's, like, because we didn't have, maybe for me, maybe didn't have that, like, secure attachment developed fully with like my parents and the breakdown of their marriage and not having them to like model some things to me. And I want to honor them, but like, I just being honest, like, I feel like some things that, yeah, I lacked from the divorce. And so I wonder if that has anything to do with like, why can I not make a decision? And why am I overthinking so much? It's because like, I don't have that security almost. I feel like that's something I've struggled with, is insecurity too. Like just not being able to be confident in myself. Like that's actually something that, and I'm so thankful for mentors in my life that have really helped me, but making decisions has been something that has been challenging. And they've really affirmed that on my journey of like, hey, you're making decisions. Like, this is huge. And I'm like, oh wow, this is huge. Like I've always struggled with that. So
good for you. I'm so glad to see that growth. And I think it's so hopeful that anyone listening right now who feels the same struggle where they feel like they can't make decisions or they overthink everything. Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful that you can make ground, you can get to a better spot. And I love what you're saying about security. I think it's so key. One of the things I've noticed in people who come from intact families, especially children, like when you're younger, I think it's even more apparent. When we get older, we're better at hiding things, but mm-hmm. they almost feel like this freedom to fail. Mm-hmm. They feel this freedom to like risk. They feel this freedom to try things and them not work out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they have this safety net of their family. Not in an unhealthy way necessarily, where they can do like any unhealthy thing and they'll be fine, but like taking, again, good risks, good challenges. And so one way to think about it is like rock climbing. It's like, who's going to be the more fearless climber? Typically the one who has a harness, who is, you know, attached to a rope, who, if they do fall, it might hurt, but they're going to be caught. Or someone who's like, nope, no harness. You just have to go up this rock face by yourself. Like, of course we're going to be timid. Of course we're going to be extra, extra careful. Of course we're going to overthink things and not move as quickly. And so I think that's the reality. I think that's what happens with so many of us. And like you said, thankfully you can move beyond that. You can figure out how to hopefully build a bit of a safety net around you. Absolutely. Through relationships, through mentors. But then also, yeah, just learn how to move in spite of where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything you'd add to any of that, or any lessons you've learned, I guess, in terms of kind of getting unstuck, not overthinking as much and making good decisions? Any principles that you're using to do that?
I think just really just having people that believe in you, that like are rooting for you, like that has helped me so much in being able to like kind of build that trust with myself and also my faith. Like mentors in my life really affirming me and guiding me and giving me tools, leading me to resources.
No, I love that. And what I hear you saying is that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it built confidence, having those mentors, having those people affirm you, give you resources and tools to use, built your confidence to where you were better able to kind of stand on your own feet and make those decisions yourselves. Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's totally been the experience for me as well. So I think lots of good lessons there. But this is such a struggle for people like us who mm-hmm. who come from broken families. So when it comes to coping and healing, you know, what's helped you? What are maybe two or three things that have helped you cope in healthy ways and helped you to heal the most?
So when I was younger, I was in, throughout middle school and high school, I was a part of a sport, cross country and track. And I would say that was huge, helping me to really have just this outlet and like teammates to really like lean on, and just get through all of the hard things with. So that was very much a way that I coped, was through my sport and just pouring myself into that. Friendships. People need people. We really need people. And that has been so healing for me in a way that, yeah, I guess I've coped is through just having people who can receive my heart. And mentors, like I've said a couple times, just that accompaniment, like we need people, like we really do. And that's helped me cope so much. And music, I think music and podcasts have been tremendously helpful for me on the journey. Worship music in particular, it's really helped me through a lot of low times. Just being able to put on a song where I can really let the tears flow and like just let myself feel whatever needs to come up. And I think that's huge. I think sometimes we have this temptation to like hold it all in, or maybe that's just how we cope, is to just not express it. But I think Sister Mary may have said this, healing is feeling. And so it's just so huge to like really let yourself feel. And that's where I think really experienced a lot of healing, is in those moments where I can just cry out and just let myself be angry, let myself be sad. And that's just been something that's been very helpful for me, is to just let yourself feel all of the emotions. I think that's something I kind of struggled with, was like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, I need to quickly go back to being positive. But like, just letting yourself feel whatever you need to feel. Of course, not trying to stay in the negative emotions for too long, but like, you can hold both. Like, you can be grateful for the blessings in your life, but also be, you know, just sad. I think just something I would love to share is a story, actually. So whenever I came back from, I was a missionary for a year. And when I came back, I decided not to go back to live with my dad, who I lived with all of my life. And I decided to stay with my mom. But I remember feeling really frustrated, because I knew that that was going to cause some like tension and like, just, I don't know. I was just like really frustrated and angry. I'm like, why can't I just have one house to come home to? Like, that was probably when I actually really let myself just grieve the divorce in a way that I hadn't for so many years, of just like being so angry, crying out to God of like, why? Like, why can't I just have one family with two parents like to embrace me when I come back from being gone for a whole year? And I just share that to just express that it's so important to just let yourself feel. And I know, yeah, that was helpful for me. So just wanted to share that.
Love that. No, that's good advice. And I know, again, I can relate. Those like negative emotions were ones that I like tried to avoid like the plague. And in time, I was able to grow when I just embraced them, like you said. And so for anyone out there who maybe you're in that spot right now where you try to avoid feeling sadness, you try to avoid feeling maybe anxiety or anger, whatever is negative in your mind, and maybe you're thinking that that's the goal, to feel some sort of like numbness or always to feel happy. That's not the goal. That's not human, actually. We have all the emotions for a reason. And I have kind of an odd assignment for you. If you're in that spot where you're struggling to kind of, you know, understand your emotions, especially dealing with those negative ones, I'd actually invite you to watch the movie Inside Out, the Pixar movie Inside Out. It's a great movie. It's like that. There's so many awesome lessons in there about kind of the purpose of our emotions, especially those quote unquote negative emotions. And so that's the assignment. I know it's on like Disney Plus, and you can get it, I'm sure, anywhere else for a few bucks. But I would challenge you to watch that and see kind of where that leads you. On that, I'm curious, you've mentioned to me separately, and you alluded to this earlier, that Resort has been really helpful for you. And I'm so honored that we've had the chance to just guide you and to play a role. You are the hero. You're the one who's making it happen. But we're happy to be with that, one of those mentors that you mentioned. And so I'm curious, how have we helped you? What has helped you from Restored?
Oh, Joey, I am so grateful for Restored. I'm smiling ear to ear over here, because Restored has been such a blessing in my life. I'm just so grateful that I came across Restored. Like, I feel like a walking billboard for it. I'm just like, Restored is just so great. It's seriously helped me tremendously. I actually came across it when I was a missionary, and I was just like on a search to find another podcast. And then I came across this one, and I was like, wow. Like, I felt so seen in listening to like each episode. Like, I just wanted to keep listening. I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is actually being acknowledged. Like, this pain that I felt, this like loneliness, this just like all the struggles that come with like being like a child of divorce, like it just felt like I finally came across just something that actually gave language to what I was feeling. And it was, just Joey, like I felt so reverenced in each episode for like the pain that I experienced. And just so thankful for Restored. And I've also just learned a lot. It's helped me so much to heal, because I've learned a lot of practical things through the episode, like how to grow in virtue, how to have healthy relationships, which I so desire and want to learn. And so there's just been so much learning and healing through Restored, and then also finding out about life-giving wounds through one of the episodes, which really helped me to enter more on the healing journey. And so my heart goes out to Restored and your team. Like, I'm just so, so grateful for coming across this beautiful ministry. And I just could scream it from the rooftops. I'm so thankful for Restored. It's helped me so much and will continue to. And I know it will continue to help a lot of people. So,
no, we're honored. Thanks for the kind words. And yeah. I'm so glad it's been helpful. We do it for you. And yeah, no, it's beautiful to hear. So, yeah, thank you for saying all that. And no, you're the ones who's making it happen, though. You're the hero. And so, well done there. You already mentioned a bunch of this, so this might be a little redundant, but I'm just curious. If there have been any like changes you've seen or made in particular because you've been consuming the content or using our other resources. You already mentioned a couple of things, but I'm curious if there's anything else.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's given me actually like a lot of hope that I can actually, you know, enter into the dating scene, for instance. Like and also that like marriage can last. Like I found myself really believing that more, because I think that's definitely a common struggle for us is like, can this last? Like, do I even want to get married? And I know for me, it's been a desire on my heart for so long. And even with my parents' marriage breaking down, I'm like, I've always believed that, yeah, it's possible, but Restored has really given me that confidence of like, yeah, this actually is possible. So it's given me a lot of hope, I would say, is the big thing. Just so many tools and
Love that. No, thank you for all that. And kind of zooming out from your story too, I'm curious, you know, I know you would say you're still a work in progress. I know I am too.
100%.
Yeah. But like, how is your life different generally, not just because of Restored, but in general that you've kind of embarked on this journey of like healing and growth and building virtue? How have you seen your life change from maybe before to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. The healing journey is an ongoing journey. It's lifelong. It's an ongoing journey, and I'm here for it. It's worth it. It is so painful at times, but it's painful, messy, but beautiful and so glorious and so worth it. And I would say that, just upon entering on the healing journey, I've noticed that I'm more free. I live a life of more freedom, and confidence, and I just see differently than I did before. And it's very beautiful. It's not to say it's all easy and rainbows and sunshines all the time, but entering on the healing journey has really allowed me to experience, freedom and just a lot of, just the compassion and, just there's so much I could say there, but those are some things that come to mind. I feel a lot more free and hopeful.
Love that. Beautiful. And you deserve that. You're worth it. And everyone listening is too. So that's so good. And if your parents were listening right now, what would you want them to know? Like, what would you say to them if they're listening?
Yeah, I would want them to know that they are so loved. And I'm so thankful that God gave me them as parents. Wouldn't want any other parents. And that God just forgives them and loves them. And I forgive them. And they are just gifts. My parents are such gifts. And all of the brokenness from the divorce, there's still a lot of beautiful, like God makes the broken beautiful and can take all of the broken pieces and create just this beautiful mosaic. And they're gifts and very grateful for everything, even the messiness of it all. It's why I'm who I am today. And
Beautiful. I could tell you really love them. And I think that's always something that people listening to this, especially parents who maybe are divorced, there's this fear that maybe we would be encouraging the children to rebel against their parents, to hate them, to just feel this anger always, perpetually. And that's not the case. In the end, there might be some anger involved. There might be some boundaries that need to be in place. There might be some really difficult conversations. But in the end, what we're working toward is having that good, healthy relationship with each other, because that is one of the keys to being happy, is having those good family relationships. And so that's what we are trying to do here. But that can't be built on like a faulty foundation of just like kind of not talking about the painful and difficult things, or not acknowledging that there's been hurt, that there's been harm. No, you have to go there if you want, you know, a really strong relationship.
Right. Yeah. I've heard it once of like, it's honor and honesty, right? We want to be honest with our experience, but obviously honor them as well. Honor it. So,
Ashton, thank you so much for coming on the show. If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to do that? I know that you're in the restored community, so they can perhaps join that to contact you. But if there's any other way, feel free to mention that.
Yeah. So I've not really been on social media too much as of late, but my Instagram handle is ashton.lochtefeld. And Joey can put that in the show notes if you want to give me a follow on there and maybe send me a message on there. Or yeah, like Joey said, a great way to reach me really right now is through the community, restored community.
Love it. Thanks again for your time for coming on here. I want to give you the last word. What encouragement, what advice would you give to someone listening right now who feels broken, who feels stuck in life, largely because of the breakdown of their family and their parents' divorce? What encouragement and advice would you give to them?
Yeah. I just want to reverence that pain and just the place that you're in right now that you find yourself, because that's real and it's hard and it's painful sometimes. I want to encourage you in whatever place you find yourself. I just want you to know that you're loved there, that you're seen, that you're known. And I want you to really hold on to hope, even if it feels like it's super far away. I get that. But I want you to know that there is hope, that redemption is so real, that like the Lord redeems, and the story doesn't end here. There's just a beautiful, life ahead of you. And I just want you to keep holding on to hope and know that, just the Lord will, redeem every single place where there's been wounds, where there's been deprivation of love. Like the Lord does not intend to leave you deprived of love. Like he's going to come in and just, redeem. I just want you to know that redemption is so real and that you are just most loved and there is hope. And healing takes time, but it's so worth it. So keep going and know that I'm rooting for you.
People like Ashton honestly inspire me. When you think of everything she's been through, all the dysfunction, all the trauma, it would have been a lot easier for her to just lay down and say like, nope. You know, I'm done. Like I can't heal. I can't grow. I'm kind of stuck. She could have chosen to remain a victim, but she refused. She said, no, I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to heal. I'm going to grow. I'm going to pursue the life and the relationships that I really long for. And I admire that so much. And I'm so glad that Restored was able to play a role as a guide in helping her on that journey. Now, if Restored has helped you, like I mentioned before, there's a way that you can help us in return. Now, I'm not asking you to donate hundreds or thousands of dollars. I'm not even asking you to donate hours and hours of your time as a volunteer. I'm just asking you to take 5 to 10 minutes to fill out our podcast survey. And through that survey, you can offer your advice on how you would make this podcast better. And to do that, it's really simple. Just go to restoredministry.com/survey, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Just fill out the survey there, answer the questions, submit it. And then if you do that by the 15th of November, you'll automatically be entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card. And so again, go to restoredministry.com/survey, or just click on the link in the show notes. That wraps up this episode. If you know someone who's struggling because of their parents' divorce or broken marriage, share this podcast with them. Seriously, if you want to, take 30 seconds now to just text them this episode or another episode. And always remember, you are not alone. We're here to help you feel whole again and break that cycle of dysfunction and divorce in your own life. And keep in mind the words of C.S. Lewis, who said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending."